Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord our God, a King. We are strong and mighty in Him. I thank God for all that He's doing in the lives of those who trust Him. I thank God for all who obey Him, those who love Him. Today is Friday, June the 10th. This is late at night when I'm doing this broadcast. I had one of those long days. I had so much schedule, and I wanted to do a broadcast. I love to do them early, but I had to do one late. It's almost 12 o'clock, but I thank God. And today is my birthday. You know, the Lord had put some thoughts on my heart, and I did not want to just do my will and not do His will. I have a lot of things to do today. Two of my kids came over. Well, they're adults now, but watched a movie with me. I thank God for that. And I love. That's one of the things that we did in our family. We had movie night. And they came and watched a movie and ate some birthday cake. And I thank God for that. Thurston the Shire did. Now, you know, I love the Lord our God and King. He loves family. And but God gives us His best, and I want my life to be worship, all of it to be worship. Everything that I do, I want to bear fruit. What is bearing fruit? Fruit is the life of God in this realm. I told my wife tonight, I said, now when it comes to the enemy, he's always trying to hijack our lives and take control that he don't have, that he shouldn't have. Now, Adam gave Lucifer the authority that he uses in the earth. Adam gave him that authority. God didn't give him that authority. God wouldn't give the enemy, Satan, anything. He got kicked out of heaven, and that was it. God was done with him. And He deceived Eve, and Adam did, you know, yielded to what the serpent said. So that's how the enemy has authority here. So now he's behind it, the serpent was. So, which is Satan. To us, he's like a dragon, a serpent, or, you know, he's ungodly. He's unclean, nasty thing. And he was once a wonderful angel. And full of beauty and wisdom. But he corrupted himself because of his beauty and wisdom. He got a pride. And pride is the deadliest monster. You know, when people are proud, they become hideous. I'm going to tell you something. In this life, God spared us when he shortened our days. He had to. Because everyday person that walks in pride, if they lived more than 100 years, you'd see the ugly. You'll see pride on a much worse way. I want you to, when you study the Word of God, you have to consider what God saw before he made a judgment call. In Genesis chapter 6, you know, look at what happened first before we go any further. I want you to know, see, when God make a decision, it's based on something that's true. God chose life and rejected death. He chose light and rejected darkness. You know, in the beginning of his way, he chose wisdom and love, and, you know, according to Proverbs chapter 8, he chose wisdom. And see, look, you have to pay close attention when you study the Word of God, because the Lord has to show us His truth, and He hides it from the wicked. It's not put in place, it's not written so they can get it. It's written so that those that love God can get it. The Word of God, it reveals itself to people who have God's love in them. But see, when you start sharing Satan's passions, then you have no appetite for God's word anymore. And you can't see it either. That's the thing. When you love the world, you become an enemy of God and you can't see him. That's why Jesus said the pure in heart will see God. Only the pure in heart will see him. Everybody else can't see him. And, you know, the Lord, that was a statement the Lord's been telling you. He said, people can't see what you see. But people who love God can. It's amazing. Only the pure in heart can see God. Only the pure in heart. They can see him when others can't. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 6. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, you know, in the book of Enoch, we know more about it. There were 200 angels that assembled on Mount Hermon, and they chose wives of all the women, wherever they chose the wives they wanted. Now watch what God does. See, if the enemy was in the garden as a serpent, then what makes you think that other fallen angels couldn't do something drastic is this. You know, theologians come up, you know, they try to be the authority, and they're just wrong. You know, when they say these are the sons of Seth, that wouldn't make sense. Good people bear, you can't get a bad fruit from a good tree. You can't get a poisonous tree, fruit from a good tree. If you pick an apple from an apple tree, then that apple is going to be good because the apple tree is a good tree. All right. Now, if you go get some poisonous berry and you don't know nothing about it, you might not live if you eat that. Well, everything bears fruit after its sort, after its type. You don't get poisonous apples off an apple tree. Somebody has to poison it. It didn't come from the tree, because there's nothing wrong with it. And every apple tree is a good tree. Every peach tree is a good tree. You have to do something to the fruit yourself if you want to put poison in it. But from the tree, it's perfect. It's just like the first one God made. What we eat is what Adam ate. Everything bears fruit after its type. That's God's word. But here, we have something crazy going on. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, so they were the sons of God. They were fallen angels. They were not in the. They shouldn't have been. If they were holy angels, they wouldn't have been trying to marry earth women, because that was forbidden. And we're going to find out why it was forbidden, because God didn't design that. They did something on their own. They were trying to stop the seed of woman from coming. It was an attack. They were trying to prevent Jesus from coming. And Satan was always trying to figure out who the seed of woman was. Now, Elder Lewis, my pastor back in the 80s, one day he did a message about how Satan thought. He thought that the seed of woman was Abel. Yeah, so Cain killed Abel. And Abel was a prophet. Then he thought it was, he couldn't pinpoint. He thought it was Moses. He thought it was different people. Judas' two sons, you know, the first one married Tamar, and he wouldn't impregnate her. The other one married her too. Have children for his brother, and he wouldn't impregnate her. And God killed both of them. She had to play the harlot to get Judah to sleep with her, and that's how she had children. And she was a noble woman in the lineage of Jesus. Satan tried to stop Jesus from coming. You can see this attack so many ways. So here is no different. This is the beginning of Satan's peculiar attack against humanity. So verse 3 said, The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You see that? He cut our years down. But he didn't stop there. He said, there are giants, and verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. See, it happened before the flood and after the flood. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now see, that's a peculiar scripture. They became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. That's what the giants became. Now, if you could have seen the earth before, see, God told Adam to replenish. If you could have saw it back then, that was a race of men of renown, and the giants were like them. So, something happened though. The earth got just devastated, so they went rogue, and now these fallen angels are marrying the daughters of men, and we got a problem here. And now watch what happens. And God saw that the wickedness of man now, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, it wasn't like this until the sons of God married the daughters of men, was it? Because they gave men demonic appetites like lust, greed. In a fallen state, man was no match, except for Enoch. Enoch, he sought the Lord. He lived in the presence of God. And he did something that we're able to do. Because by the Holy Spirit, we can. Enoch did what we should be doing. Enoch did this. And to the point that God translated it. I'm talking to you now. Listen. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now watch verse 6. This is verse 6 is one of the most pivotal scriptures in this chapter. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Why would something grieve God to that magnitude? It was because the thoughts of their heart was only evil. Continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord our King. Our King always has a remnant that will not bow to the knee to Baal. So everything I'm saying is relevant. And these things are for our admonition. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, Timothy Alvarino, I love to listen to him and Steve Quill. Now, he made a good point, and I believe this too. It's not that he was righteously perfect, which he loved God. In the book of Enoch trained him, and in the, you know, but Noah was, he was uncontaminated. He didn't have the giant DNA in his lineage. He didn't have fallen angel DNA in his lineage, because the giants, they can't be saved. If you read the book of Enoch, and I believe it's credible, because Jude referred from it. If you read the book of Jude, he quoted some things written in the book of Enoch. And if a man, if a prophet that God just made translate, I believe that prophet. So to say that Enoch is not relevant, that's just bad theology. It should be in the Bible. But he pointed to Christ, and Christ was a mystery. So a lot of people didn't want that. Satan didn't want it, but God found a way to give us those documents. Now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. So, and Noah walked with God. So he had no. He was a man that God could repopulate the earth with. And Noah begat three sons: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when God told Noah, Moses, he said, "I'm about to destroy these people, and I'll raise up a generation through you." I'm gonna tell you something. God was not kidding. That wasn't a ploy. Moses, God set Moses up to be a priest because God and sin don't mix, folks. Moses interceded and God didn't destroy those contrary people. Some of them did get destroyed, but not all of them. God was going to wipe them all out. God don't love, he don't like sin. He wants people of faith. So he did it here. He repopulated the earth with one man, Noah, and his sons and their wives. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now watch this. The earth also was corrupt before God. Corrupt now. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Let me tell you something. If you study the book of Enoch, the fallen angels didn't just sleep with women. They also defiled animals and insects. So some of the things that was on the earth would probably scare you. Preacher, I never heard nothing like that. You need to read the book of Enoch. The Lord don't, he tried to spare us. He got rid of all that. Why do you think, if you study chapter 7 and 8, when he flooded the earth, he had to flood the earth first before it rained. And most preachers leave this part, this detail out. Before it rained, the ground became, the great deep broke, and the ground would have become like mud, quicksand. Then it rained. Now, why would it happen that way? And why would it take so much water? It had to cover the mountains 15 cubits. God had to flood the tunnel system. People don't know it, but there's a tunnel system under the earth, under the ground. There's a tunnel network from every country. People don't know this. And in the mountain, there are tunnels and caves. It's not just a cave. They lead from one place to another. God flooded all of it and destroyed the giants. Now, the main point I wanted to make is God cut our time back to 120 years because people become vicious. Everyday people with the leaven of sin in them, if they live past 120 years or double that or triple that or even just double that, you'll see a vicious human being. They'll be kind of like a monster. Their heart will be so hard they won't regard God anymore. Some people are like that now. But most people that are leavened by Satan. And see, when I say Satan, I'm not talking about devil worshipers right now. The common, the nice person that just won't get saved. You explain the gospel to them. You bear fruit before them. You love them. And they still won't get saved. That's what I'm talking about. If our lives lasted double 120 years, most people don't make 120 years. They die between 70 and 120 years. But if they could live in good health for another 120 years, that's 240 years, you'll see some vicious people. Now, there are psychopaths, people that we call psychopaths. That's more about what it would look like if sin runs its course on a person. And some people are demonically possessed. They can't even control themselves. They don't They have bloodlust appetites. There are so many video games that people develop bloodlust appetites, sex lust appetites, not just from video games, but from watching, you know, demonically inspired propaganda. Now, I'm saying all these things because the enemy, I'm showing how the enemy works. He's vicious. And God gave us a counter that we could work. He shortened our days. We have a short, much shorter lifetime so that we can survive. Humanity is, if God didn't cut our life down back, he would have had to destroy us. He picked that number because that's what we could manage. That was manageable for us. It's a blessing that we died 120 in this realm. But we need to carry the anointing. Those of us that are anointed, we need to bear fruit and carry that anointing as long as we can. And we need to keep our bodies in good health so that we can do so. And wise people do that. Now, God spared us, not only from by cutting our time back, but he spared us without giving us many gruesome details of what the enemy did. He really don't want us to know the depths of Satan. Some people will find it curious and get leavened another way. So God knows what he's doing. He spared us from a lot of terrible problems. Okay. Now, in all things, God is, he's moving by spirit. In Ephesians 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Very important. Ephesians 6:10. It said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now I'm showing you something. And spiritual wickedness in high places, out of space, in heavenly realms. Now you know that the enemy got kicked out of the third heaven. But I did last year on audio page 6. There's my covenant. It says our covenant week. It mirrors the restoration week, and I pointed this out in there that I will fight. The stars are going to fall to the earth. Now that's not talking about literal stars, because every star is as big as a sun. That would destroy the earth. If a literal star, any of them, fell on earth, it would destroy the whole planet. But they're talking about the people under Satan's control that fell with him. And we know from Corinthians that some of these things, some of the creation of God, some are terrestrial. They have flesh and bone, blood, bodies, and some are celestial, like angels, you know, and some are terrestrial, flesh and blood and bone bodies. So same thing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now those are the regional fallen angels in different regions, and demons, powers, demons, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Their position here, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we fight, and all of that is under Satan's kingdom. But in the last days, the stars will fall to the earth. Now that's the fallen angels again, and whatever fell with Satan. Now, if we operate, like if we're obedient, find a brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I told my wife this today, if we drive out Satan and we have control of our lives, we don't let him infiltrate out. We have the authority of Jesus to do that. We can tell Satan, you can't tempt me. You can't give me thoughts. You can't use me. I told a lady, she said that she was having trouble with people at work. I said, well, tell Satan he can't use them against you and he can't use you against her. So I like to kill it on both ends. Terrence Givens years ago, he said, if you ever tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for the woman too. And so after I learned about authority, I added authority to that measure. I said, Satan, you can't tell me with her and you can't tempt her with me. And it worked every time. I got 100% success doing that. Got a good report from a guy last week. I told him that he did it too, and it worked. Now, when in this world, I'm not afraid to say what you have to do to stand. You do all to stand. Stay in the realm of God. Live from the realm of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The reason so many wonderful people failed is because the enemy tried to get you to fight from this realm instead of God's realm. Let's look at that scripture again. It says, be strong in the Lord, find a brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, if I try to fight Satan in the power of my might, that's all Satan wants me to do. Then he'll find a way to master my life again. Because I don't have enough sense to fight him out of my mind. I have to do it according to scripture. Preacher, if you do it that way, you don't look powerful. I don't care how I look. I don't have a pride complex. I play it safe. I do it God's way. I'm 59 years old today. Now, I'm fighting a devil that I don't know how old he is. He's thousands of years old. But I'm the winner. Why? Because I do it in the power of the Lord's might. I speak in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Thurston. And I had 100% success. So it always works. It never will not stop working. Especially if we put on the whole armor like it prescribed to us. Now, I want to show you something. If you yield to the enemy, now you're back in his realm again. Romans 6. See, it says, neither ye, verse 13, Romans 6, neither ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, our topic today is your power in yielding. You're yielding your life to God. You're fighting in the power of God's might. You're yielding to Him. Now, I want to finish telling you what I told my wife. You take authority over the enemy, so you'll have control of your life. All right, he said, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Well, see, the law is for the lawless. You've been made righteous. And you fulfill the righteousness of the law by the love of God. You have to understand that. It's not by willpower. See, that's back in your realm. That's where you lose. But if you love like God loves, you automatically fulfill the law. And if you believed on Jesus, you fulfill the ceremonial law, all the things that pointed to Christ. Verse 16, he said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Wherefore, of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sins, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, Even so now, yield your members service to righteousness unto holiness. And we can live like God now. If we yield to him, that's where we're powerful. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. And you know, I said in the last broadcast that when I was a sinner, I could sin and go to bed and not think about it. And now I can't do that. If I sin, the Holy Spirit will convict me, and I don't want to sin in the first place. I love living in the liberty of God without sin. All right, verse 21, for what fruit ye had then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're living in the realm of heaven. And Satan's trying to get us to operate from this realm instead of God's realm. But see, when you yield to the Lord, you supersede him all the time. We're complete in him, according to Colossians 2:10. Now, Paul explained a lot of wonderful things. He said, you know, the enemy's always trying to get people who love God. He's trying to get them back into a bondage of this realm. He said, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I love it. That's where we're strong, folks. So yielding to God, if he's the head of all principality and power, so are we in this realm. We're like Jesus in this realm. Consider these things. The power of